and friends. Of course, I go by the name of the Kid, famous. You and I are tuned in to the Tim and Friends show. Hello, education, entertainment, coast to coast. Ball it up, call it entertainment. Let's get this started. Uncle Tim, let's start this show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
This is Tim and Friends for Wednesday, July 21st, 2021, live from the Sportsnet studios, one day after the Bucks win their first title in 50 years live on Sportsnet, and the day of the Seattle expansion draft live on Sportsnet. Well, at least I thought it was on Sportsnet. What I'm hearing is on Twitter. Like, what the hell? Spoiler alerts everywhere. I guess we need to confirm tonight. Carey Price staying in Montreal. Vladimir Tarasenko? No. Leafs legend Jared McCann? No. He's gone. Calgary Flames captain gone, though most of us expected that. All right, I need to bring in Jesse Rubinoff right off the top, into the fold immediately. What in the good name of noted expansion hero Lori Boschman do we do with all of this? Like, do we need a spoiler alert, alarm? Like, we can't not talk about this. There's already some huge news circulating, and yet tonight on this very network, there is going to be an expansion draft show.
We pretty much know everything already. I mean, I love all the contributors to the show. We have Frank Cervelli come on, CJ Elliott. They spoiled it. Like,
are you upset, though?
Well, I think... I would say
I think we have a spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler. I would say there are certain fans out there, but this happens.
No, I'm asking you. Don't give me this certain fan stuff.
Yeah, I would have liked to know with anticipation watching tonight. But look, the reality of the situation is this happens everywhere now. This happens in the NBA draft. This happens in the NFL draft. Insiders.
You and I know that. I don't know if NHL fans know that. Like, I don't know how many crossover hardcores know that Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams Charania basically ruined everything, and they had to hire them to make sure that they wouldn't ruin everything anymore.
Exactly. There's no reason to really watch these things anymore other than the production value, and the broadcast, I'm sure, will be fantastic tonight because Sportsnet does a really good job with these sorts of things. But people wanted to see and wanted to wait, I think, with bated breath to see, is Carey Price going to be taken? Is Mark Giordano going to be taken? Is Tarasenko going to be taken? The big names. And we woke up and we pretty much knew.
No.
Yeah, we pretty much knew.
There you go. Hey, hold on. Spoiler alert one more time. Rob Zito, can you hit me with the spoiler alert one more time? No, yes, no is the answer on those. Let us know. We should do a poll.
Sure. Fans,
are you mad at hearing all this, or does it make it even more exciting? Because it feels like, and here, Ian Furness is a local Seattle broadcaster, and he tweeted out, I want to get a time on this, 3:02 p.m., so about 2 hours ago, he tweeted out, and I quote, "Word among multiple NHL people I have heard from is simple. The theme of the expansion draft has to be side deals.
Oh, let's go.
A lot of additional compensation coming the Seattle Kraken's way." Now, I don't know if we'll hear about this in the show, but I would guess that now that we've heard all of that, you might start having to add a little caulking to the show tonight.
Maybe all the players that
filling
they
in
took,
the gaps.
Yeah, maybe all the players that the insiders have revealed that the Kraken are taking are actually getting flipped in side deals. But you're going to have to watch tonight to tune in and find out.
But that's not hyperbole.
No, it's possible.
No, it's quite literally possible that Seattle could be taking the players that you have seen come across your Twitter timeline and flip them immediately.
Like half of them gone.
Like the Leaf fans and talking about Jared McCann. Like,
yeah.
This is the exact same thing that Seattle could be doing. Like Leaf fans who grew attached to Jared McCann. Like they got him for a 7th-round pick and a prospect that they weren't really using instead of giving a 1st and a 3rd for Seattle to back off. Like, they got him for this very reason, because they didn't want to pay the price that apparently Seattle is asking for to lay their hands off of whatever player they wanted to lay their hands off, whether it was Kerfoot or not.
Yes.
But I believe they had McCann and Kerfoot because they knew Pittsburgh and Toronto both knew they would lose both players. So why not come to some sort of deal.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm Kyle Dubas, I don't want to lose valuable draft picks. And people will say, oh, they're keeping together and protecting a roster that lost, blew a 3-1 lead to Montreal. But the offseason is just starting. Yeah. Like, it's not like opening night this roster is guaranteed to be the same because Kerfoot stays and McCann goes. It's not the case at all. There's a lot of time left.
Right, there's a lot of trades that can happen.
It's all good.
It's all about value right now.
Totally.
And we're going to talk to Ron Francis. So let us know. We're going to throw a poll up there. Is it pissing you off or making it more exciting? Because it feels like there are a lot of pissed off fans on Twitter, at least.
It just underscores how good these insiders are. Like, they got sources everywhere. They know what's up.
Yes.
They're crushing it right now. Crushing it.
For those of you who have things to do during the day, like, here's what we're hearing. Because I feel like there's a bunch of people that may have been busy, just turned on the show, and have no idea what we're talking about. Apparently, according to a lot of reports, the Kraken basically spurned some of the big name talent that was out there in the expansion draft and passed on guys like Carey Price from Montreal. Vladimir Tarasenko stays in St. Louis, but they did swing hard at some division rivals, taking Adam Larsson from the Oilers, signing him to a deal that is similar to what the Oilers were offering, and he walks. And Mark Giordano, as we kind of expected, will be selected and also probably going to be the Kraken's first captain. Say that 5 times fast and be very, very careful with it. Jesse, am I missing anything here? Like, we've got the board of the leaked selection thus far, forwards and defensemen, because there have been multiple reports all around the internet suggesting that these are the names that are going to go the other way. And by the way, we have Cole in there. That's Vancouver, not Toronto. You can only get one from one team.
Okay, 2 things. Number one, doesn't look like Gabriel Landeskog is going to Seattle. He's still going to be a pending UFA. Still can negotiate with the Avalanche, but doesn't look like he reached a deal with the Kraken. That roster doesn't look very good to me. Does it look like half decent?
No, it looks like Ron Francis, GM of the Seattle Kraken, stood to his word that he was looking for cap space. That's what it looks like.
Exactly. And that's what we talked about when the decision with Carey Price was happening. And it turns out he definitely stuck to his guns and stuck to his word there. But you would hope that there's going to be some side deals coming because the roster, as it looks with the leaked selections, is not very strong right now.
It'll be interesting. Plus, they can circle back on free agents, too. Just because they didn't select them doesn't mean they haven't come to a deal with one of those unrestricted free agents. Mm-hmm. Much more coming up, including maybe the most awkward interview of my life. Kraken GM Ron Francis is going to join me to talk about things that we're probably not allowed to talk about. Like, I don't think we can talk about the leaked stuff but we can talk about how he structured his team and what he was looking forward to and whether or not he was enticed by some of those big names that were on the expansion list.
What if we get another sneak preview and we get another leak, but we get it from Ron Francis himself? Maybe he's just going to come on. He's going to say, look, Tim.
Heel turn.
Tim, I know everyone on Twitter is saying here are the picks. These are the real picks, all right, Timmy? Brings the list out and goes down. It is nobody that we had there up on the board.
Frege.
Yeah.
CJ, Frank Saravelli, Darren Drake, they're all wrong.
I would love that.
Just Ron comes out here and says,
big heel turn.
We gave them the wrong names on purpose. That's not even close to the real list.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. All right. Forget GM week. It's GM day right here on Tim and Friends. Ross Atkins also set to join me in that segment. Who says more, Francis or Atkins? I kid because I love. All that plus former Kings assistant GM Mike Fiuta joins us to help us make sense of it all. But let's officially kick off the festivities with the notorious, careful, RUB. First things first, let's do it.
First things first.
It is, I believe, a championship Tuesday in order, and a big congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks. But another huge congratulations is in order, and that is to Mr. Tim McAuliffe, who also took home a trophy last night. Tim was named best sports host at the 2021 Canadian Screen Awards on Tuesday.
Not in the lineup.
An incredible honor, obviously a deserved honor after all the great work he did last year during the pandemic and continues to do here on Tim and Friends. Just an outstanding, very much deserved honor. I know you downplayed the nomination, Timmy. This attention probably makes you uncomfortable. I can see it in your face right now. Mm-hmm. But from everyone who works on the show, congratulations from all of us, Timmy. Very well deserved. And speech! Sebi,
what?
Speech!
What?
Speech!
Well, I've never done this for awards. However.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to lie here. It felt really, really good, especially in that company. So I did maybe prepare a few words or two or three. That company, hosts I routinely steal from, James Duthie, Scott Russell, Ron McLean. I mean, this is basically the best of the best and professionals that I respect a lot. So it does feel good. And the reason it feels good, and I'm going to be honest here, I'm going to speak from the heart for a second here, was that last year was so damn hard for so many reasons. And I said when Sid left that I was so damn proud of what we did and damn proud of the company that I worked for and the bosses that I have that not only allowed us to have those conversations, but truly trusted us to have them. From John Coleman, Andrew Sutherland, Rob Corte before that, to Bart Yabsley and Jordan Banks. We never felt anything but trust. And it's not just appreciated. It's the standard all news organizations should aspire to. Scott Moore opened the door to that. And I really appreciate that we were allowed to have the conversations like real human beings, because there's not enough of those real human being conversations these days. And we have a team here that does it for the right reasons. And it's not often that shows like ours win these kinds of awards, because doing it every damn day means you literally don't have time to shine things up. It's a grind, and then you do it all over again the next day. Something a lot of us got at the Score. So I love the team recognition that this award means for producers Thomas Dobby and Jason Sands. I'm going to get self-indulgent here. Maddie Morgan in the fold every day at home. Dylan Brown and the technical crew that had us broadcasting a national TV and radio show from our closet, kitchen, and basements. And alas, this wasn't a Tim and Friends award. This was a Tim and Sid award. So a tip of the cap to the homie, Sidney Bartholomew Sixero, who made a year so damn hard look so damn easy. I told you when you left that I couldn't have done it without you. This is ours. I mean, it will stay at my house, but this is ours. I'm remarkably proud of the conversations we had from the heart, unscripted and real. And last year, way too many times, it was also really raw. And then we just pivot to, you know, the dad joke of the day or laughing at fart noises. Because there were no sports. Like, Jesse, should I be offended or honored that we won when there were no sports for half the year?
No, it makes it that much more impressive.
I don't know. Sorry, sidetracked. I said we won again because I'm not sure there is anyone on planet Earth that I would or could do that with other than Sid Sixero. So what the hell's going on here?
Are they playing the music?
Are they playing Wrap It Up music on my own show? What the hell's going on here? All right, salute to Sid Sixero. And, of course, thanks to the Tim and Citizens who have been unreal from jump. I saw a lot of your congratulations on Twitter or the gram. It was cool to see folks that have been with us for 15 years and 15 minutes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Look, Ma, we're no longer award eligible. We got one. Two trophies in the room now, Ken Reed. Two trophies in this room. Thanks again. I got to go. Appreciate the time.
Timmy, real happy for you, buddy.
Yeah,
still got a show to do.
Thank you. Sorry, what?
Still got a show to do. Like an hour and 45 minutes left in the show today. Hate
who,
to break it to
who
you.
Who we got on?
Just a couple of GMs. Not a big deal.
Oh, son of a...
Another round of applause.
Son of a... So that means I can't
Tim
leave?
McAuliffe. Look who's coming back. Made his way back. Got the Wrap It Up music. And I have to say, you said yesterday on the show.
I got my own show. I got the Wrap It Up music.
You said yesterday on the show that you'd probably find out in the wardrobe room.
Yeah.
So I walk upstairs, walk in the wardrobe room, and who's watching on his phone? And I said, anything happened yet? He said, yeah, I won. I said, you're joking. It happened that quickly. It was 5 minutes after the show.
Yeah, I was in my undershirt.
Oh, it was amazing.
Some boxer shorts.
So good. All right. Congrats, Timmy.
Kind of like most of the year.
Yeah.
Very my much boxer
finding
shirt.
Out in the closet in your boxers. All right. Championship Tuesday right here on Sportsnet. The Milwaukee Bucks 50-year wait is finally over. Giannis Antetokounmpo dropped 50 points in Game 6 last night versus the Suns. Real work starts now. Milwaukee winning 105-98, taking the series 4-2 and giving the Bucks the Larry O.B. for the first time since 1971. Giannis ended one of the greatest NBA Finals performances ever with 50 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 block shots. The Bucks won 15 games in Giannis's rookie year, and now here we are, 16 wins in the postseason. Good. What should Giannis' legacy be? Got to be happy for him.
His legacy? Probably the Chick-fil-A order from today. Chopped a 50-piece last night. And if he eats it all, he's probably dropping a 50-piece right about now. I'm kidding. You never are until you are. Remember that, kids. You never are until you are. Like, Giannis was a lot of things to a lot of different people, but now and forever, what he is an NBA champion. Like, 15th overall in one of the worst drafts in NBA history, behind names like Anthony Bennett, Alex Len, Cody Zeller. That was the top five. Shabazz Muhammad was taken right in front of him. But unlike the narrative on how it's built in 2021, it was patience and perseverance in the NBA that paid off, even from Greece, even at 15th overall, and with two MVPs and a defensive player of the year, you could turn into hot take television, and what you heard for a couple of years now was that he wasn't. What he wasn't. And that's why I say you never are until you are. Like, ask Alex Ovechkin, Clayton Kershaw, players who we all knew were great, but for many, it wasn't what they were, it was what they weren't until they won. But Giannis, I will forever respect for how he did it. He never stopped working on his game. He was always thoughtful, always considerate, never changed for no one, even if it took longer than others. Even if the game that got him this now, and I'm not overstating this, iconic status, right?
Definitely. Like, no question.
The game that got him this iconic status was the very game everyone was ripping. Like, ironic, no? Like, he's got to get a jump shot, they said. He has to get a three ball. That's the new NBA. And to his credit, he tried, but he just won an NBA title, shockingly, with what he does best. 50-piece in the closeout game, an alley-oop, and a block that will live in NBA lore, and so will he. Imagine being 26 and the rest is icing on the cake. No super team, just figuring out a way to get it done with the organization that drafted you. I love it, and apparently so does Yanni.
Trust me, they believe in me. They believed in us, even when we were lost, the city still was like on our side. And, you know, obviously I wanted to get the job done, you know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it, man.
By the way, did I say he was likable?
The best.
Like, very likable.
The best.
All right, still to come, Mark Stein, more on Yanni's performance in the NBA Finals and the rest of the Finals. GM Day, as mentioned on Tim and Friends. Kraken GM Ron France is ahead of the expansion draft. And coming up next, Jay's Ross Atkins on their approach to the trade deadline and a return to Toronto. Tim and Friends, hump day. Let's go. I wasted all the time with an acceptance speech.
We have to think about winning, really, as it is really what it comes down to.
Tanaka for Japan, saved by Labbe. Well, would you believe it? A look at the celebrations from Canada.
Is that Charlie Freeman? I think it is.
Is it? Hi, Charlie.
There he is. He's waving at Fernando.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's me, Charlie, your friend.
On an 0-1. Hits one a ton. Way back. It's gone. It's over. They come on the way back.
The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
Welcome back, Tim and friends. My first guest of the show needs absolutely no introduction, so I just went to Wikipedia, my favorite place to do research, and found out that he was taken in Rob Gronkowski's favorite round of the Major League Baseball draft. That's right, the 69th round in 1994, along with God's honest truth, a dude named Dusty Rhodes. Not either of the two that you're thinking of. Ross Atkins isn't that old, but he is joining me now. Ross, thanks a lot for doing this. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad I didn't sign that year. I'm glad I got drafted the following year by another team. But I'm doing great, and congratulations to you on the CSA award.
Oh,
that's so cool, man. Yeah, you deserve it.
I really appreciate that. You dropped like 20 rounds or 30 rounds too when you went the next year. So here I am spouting off the 69, but there was a couple 30 rounds lower the next year.
Right.
Don't let me shortchange you.
Feel very fortunate.
This last 15 months obviously been crazy for a lot of us, but with the trade deadline coinciding with the first game back in Toronto, things a tad busy these days. Like, what's going on in your life?
It is. It's insanely busy and insanely exciting. You know, thinking about this being the last game that we're playing in Buffalo tonight is it's amazing. I can't say enough about our players. They have not done anything but control what they can control and focus on trying to win ball games. And you can see their passion for one another and how much joy they have in competition. And wherever we've been, they've stayed together, they've stayed united. And this has been an interesting story thus far, and hopefully we can continue to make it a better one. But exceptionally busy with the trade deadline and just getting out of the draft and now moving back to Toronto, and feel very fortunate to have those things going on.
I know a lot of folks want me to talk about the deadline, and I'll get to the deadline, but I was mentioning on Monday how lost in kind of the euphoria of all this coming home excitement was just how hard this has all been. And then we heard from Ross Stripling after getting roughed up by the Red Sox and kind of put a face, a human element on all this. And while we both know there are a lot of people in tougher spots in real life, baseball-wise, how hard has this been to contend with, you know, three different homes and all the moving parts that have gone with the last 15 months?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what that was. It was just being human. And, you know, every GM that I talk to, every executive that I talk to, it is usually met with a sigh and a lot of, man, you guys have really had a tough run. And, you know, how are you doing? How are you hanging in there? So, you know, we just haven't thought of it that way. We've just really, you know, focused on the good, focused on how we can improve. Are there little things incrementally we can do to improve our situation, whether that be resource, facility, changes to the roster, the team, communication? You know, how can we get better with the environment, in the environment that we're in? And our players have had that mindset as well. But I feel incredibly fortunate to have been through it because of what it's meant for our group. I've seen this team come together, and it's not just the 26-man roster. It's the organization coming together in a very special way that I don't think any other organization can experience, because whether it's business to baseball operations or minor league to major league or player development to amateur, we've had to be all hands on deck in a unique way, and feel fortunate for that.
You know, it's funny. I brought it up to Buck Martinez, and I'm honestly impressed that you guys are kind of still treading water here. In fact, you're got your heads above water. You're over 500 and in a pretty good spot. And he gave a lot of credit to the organization. He gave a lot of credit to Mark. He gave a lot of credit to you and others. Like, how does it make you feel to hear things like that?
Yeah, we just focus on the things that I mentioned, and I have a ton of respect for Buck. So hearing you say that is certainly a positive. We have a good group of people here that love baseball, love, you know, working for this organization, love this team, and love working together. So, you know, hopefully the organization will continue to benefit from that.
You know, Charlie Montoya was taking some heat for his decision-making at times. Like, how tough in all this has been the balance of manager of games and manager of human beings?
Yeah, I mean, it is a very, very fair question, and that's always the case, you know, right? I think sometimes even executives can be guilty of thinking that professional athletes are superhuman and that they're tougher than any other individual. But the reality of it is that we're all obviously human, and we're all in need of feeling connected, in need of feeling a part of something bigger than ourselves. And Charlie's focused on that, on keeping people united and keeping people, you know, feeling like they're a part of something special. So, you know, he's done a great job. He really has. And he, again, we not to focus on the challenges, but ours are certainly have been unique.
Have the last 15 or so months changed the way the organization approaches things at all? Like, I know you touched on a little of the we need all hands on deck, and everyone has to be, you know, communicating well, obviously, because there's so many moving parts. But just on a macro sense, like, has it changed the team's approach on, you know, like windows of opportunity, things like this, because of how delicate this all can be?
Yeah, I don't think it's changed our approach, but I feel like we've gotten better. I feel like our relationships and our bonds have strengthened. And like I mentioned, that's not just, you know, me to Charlie, it's throughout the organization. You know, our players are even more united than they've been. And those are the things that we're seeing improve, which then turns to us feeling very good about where this organization is and wanting to make this 26-man roster better if we can. You know, and there are a lot of things that we've adapted and learned from that we'll take away from this unique challenge as we move forward in decision-making, as we move forward in roster building and thinking about how we create a good environment for yeah. players.
You know, no horse bleep here. I'll just say this. I think that the teams that have done well, the organizations that have done well, or as we say in Canada, organizations that have done well have great leadership. And I'm not blowing smoke. I think that the ones that survive, whether it's players, management, beyond, great leadership has really shone through in these moments of the last 15 months. So as I transition from that to deadline and what every Jays fan wants to know, how much work do you want to get done between now and the trade deadline?
Well, we will get an incredible amount of work done, you know, and that, you know, we already have. I think the preparation to get to this point, to understand where opportunities might be, and then really digging further as things crystallize to learn how it would impact our team if a change is made, if a trade is made. So the work will be at an exceptional level, and the results, which we can't always control, we hope that, you know, we're able to add another good player, whether that's a position player or reliever or starting pitcher, we'll see. And maybe even beyond that. But the organization's in a good place to do that because of the depth of our farm system. We're excited about some of the pieces that could help from within as well, with Nate Pearson getting healthy again, with the emergence of Kevin Smith in the minor leagues. A lot of good things happening in Buffalo with some of our pitchers there starting to really step up, and we have guys getting healthy now. So I think between the deadline and opportunities we'll have there, and then some of the guys that are getting healthy, and really excited about Corey Dickerson that should be, whether it's right at the deadline or just after, or maybe shortly after that, could be on a major league field with us. So, you know, excited about the days ahead for sure, Tim.
Obviously, starting pitching is always a tough market. Is it tougher than it's ever been?
It does feel sparse. You know, I think that's in part because of injury, in part because of, you know, just the evolution of the game. But the, you know, we're actually in a decent spot with the rotation that we have right now, and some of the names that I mentioned getting healthy again, some of the performances we've had in AAA, we could be better. And we will look to see if there are opportunities there, but it doesn't feel like that is an area where you can be opportunistic.
And that's just because of all of the factors that go into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is the way teams are built and the usage of pitchers, of starting pitchers and relievers, and part of it is injury. And part of it really is just how hard it is to be a starting pitcher and the importance of identifying it and developing it.
I feel like you guys have done a pretty good job of that over the last little while, especially with pieces that you've added. How careful do you need to be with what you add human being-wise to what is a young and developing clubhouse?
Exceptionally careful. I do think that we have an environment that can handle, you know, all walks in any, we're not looking for a clone. We're not looking for one type of human. But it's really important that who we bring into the clubhouse loves the game, respects the people in it, and not just the players in the clubhouse, but all walks. And, that is exceptionally important to us. We also feel like, our players can help others think that way and become better teammates because of, you're looking at it right now, the joy that those two bring into a clubhouse, it's every single day. And that's natural leadership. That impacts other players. That decreases stress to watch those smiles on those faces. It does it for me. I'm sure it does it for fans. Well, I hope it does it for fans, and I'm sure it does it for other players.
And the interesting part of that is, to the outsider looking in, we haven't been around the team a heck of a lot, obviously, but it doesn't seem phony in any way, shape, or form.
No, well, you would know. That's the great thing about baseball. It is the ultimate, honesty measure. Yeah, I mean, you find out if it's not authentic.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, I know you brought it up. I don't want to rehash your media availability too much here, but you did mention Nate Pearson in your availability yesterday. You brought him up a little earlier, and how he could help potentially out of the bullpen. Is he in on a decision like that to go, like, listen, there's a lot of things that have happened to him, and I know you said sports hernia, you're happy about that, but is Nate involved in a decision where it's like, okay, maybe we can use you out of the bullpen, and is he in for something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And ideally, it's always a mutual decision. Sometimes we have to, ultimately makes a decision that a player may or may not be 100% happy about. But Nate is on board with that, was a part of that process. And really, it's more, more medical than circumstantial, just because of wanting to make sure we get through the season while he gets continued development opportunities and managing his workload game to game, not necessarily over the course of the year.
Right.
And then we'll reset next year. So excited about where he is. He is fired up and in a good place and obviously has weapons to help.
Okay, a couple more here. Corey Dickerson, I know you mentioned him too, starting rehab. He's a left-handed bat. He can play some gold glove defense, or at least has in the past. Like, where do you see him?
I think the handedness is key. Whether or not that is platooning with someone else out there, he's also been on the dirt before at first base. So, we'll see where that takes us. We're focused right now on him getting healthy, but I could see a scenario where he's playing on a semi-regular basis, and depending on the performance of, others and himself, that could take on a more regular playing time situation. But the power, the professionalism of his at-bats, and then having some versatility as a player, is that we're excited to see him on the field.
All right, one more. Does Alejandro Kirk's return put you in a tough spot numbers-wise?
You mean him coming to the major leagues?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he were to be here, we would take a catcher off the roster, most likely. I mean, we could consider carrying three catchers, but, currently being optioned in AAA, and we want to make sure he's in a – not just he's in a great place physically, he's 100% recovered from his injury. We want to make sure he's into a great rhythm. I believe he had a home run and a couple of singles yesterday, and very glad to have him back into the fold.
Listen, I understand that you are super busy. We always appreciate your time, but when you're doing it in these times, we appreciate it even more. Thanks for doing it.
All right, Tim. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Be well. There is Ross Atkins in what looks like the Zoom room, but I think that now might actually be Jesse Rubinoff, an actual interview room where people walk in with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. We are moving on here.
I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, my friend. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. All right, time for a quick break. When we come back, the Olympic opening ceremony is still 2 days away, but the games are underway. Canada's women's softball and soccer teams in action today. We'll get you the highlight next, including some high drama between Canada and Japan on the pitch. Tough start. Would Canada shine? Welcome back to Tim and Friends, GM of the Seattle Kraken, Ron Francis, joining us a little later on. Jesse Rubinoff sitting over there. He threw up. What school I went. Threw up the poll earlier today. NHL fans, are you happy to see the Kraken expansion picks leaked? Because they have been all over the interwebs today. Almost 3,400 votes so far since the start of the show. And 76% say no. They don't want to see it.
They're passionate. People are passionate about this one.
I've seen a couple, and I tried to go and find them during the commercial break, but I couldn't because we were doing a bunch of things here. But there are a few people saying, like, that's their job. Like, that's the insider's job, is to get information. And then I heard other people saying, yes, however, there's a time to be quiet. That's a very fine line.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an insider who usually breaks stories and you don't want to do it today, someone else is going to do it.
Right.
They're going to get the scoop. So you have to do your job. That's the reality of the situation.
Chris Johnson doing his job and reporting that Zach Hyman is in Edmonton right now visiting the Oilers, and gives credit to Jason Greger, who works with Frank Saravelli and some other place, three letters, radio station, reported there remains a possibility of a sign-and-trade scenario with the Leafs that could get Hyman a max 8-year term. So what this suggests to me is that Hyman's done in Toronto, and Edmonton's been the favorite all along.
Zach Hyman's a really good player. Really good player. He's benefited, I think, from playing with some superstars on the Leafs. Why would you sign a 29-year-old to an 8-year deal? Doesn't that strike you as a bit strange? That's a long time for someone who's 29 years old.
Because you really want that guy. And by the way, I firmly believe that those superstars have also benefited from playing with Zach Hyman,
sure.
Who gets pucks off of other teams.
Like very few people in the league.
Yeah. Like lacrosse has a loose ball stat. Careful with it. It's called a loose ball stat.
Yeah.
And NHL should have a loose puck stat or a I won this battle stat. Because it matters. Whenever there's a bouncing ball, there were guys that got it.
Honestly,
there are guys that
they probably have it.
They do.
I also
know that it's tough to quantify. Yeah. Even analytics has a tough time quantifying.
We need super analytics. That's next.
Super analytics. Yeah. All right. Olympic Games are underway. And listen, we have plenty of this. Kraken GM Ron Francis is going to join us. I don't know what we can talk about, but we're going to talk. But the Olympic Games are underway. Events began today in Tokyo. Opening ceremony goes Friday morning here in Canada. And you can see it right here on Sportsnet. But a huge match for Canada's women's soccer team, ranked 8th in the world, coming in off of back-to-back bronze medals at the Olympic Games. They were facing the host, Japan, ranked 10th in the world. So this was trial by fire for Canada as the events get underway. 6th minute, how about this baptism? Christine Sinclair in her 300th international match, off the post, back to her goal number 187 in her career. Most any man, any woman alive or dead. 1-0 Canada, 47th minute. This was interesting. Ball into the box for Mina Tanaka. Now, Stephanie Labbé comes out to challenge. Big collision. Both players hurt. They went to review and gave a penalty kick. Labbé injured, crying, stays in the game and does this.
Tanaka for Japan, saved by Labbé. Well, would you believe it? A look at the celebrations from Canada. Oh, my goodness me. Look at the smile on the face of Labbé.
Huge moment for Canada and Labbé. But unfortunately, after the save, was forced to sub off, still feeling the effects of the collision, did not want to go, but went. And in her stead, Kaylin Sheridan is scored on in the 84th minute. The equalizer for Japan, that's how it would end. 1-1 the draw as Sinclair gets the goal. Now, Canada will face Chile up next on Saturday before finishing off the group stage against Great Britain, another solid squad. Top two teams in each of the three groups, plus the two best third-place teams advance to the quarterfinals, and that would be important given the draw in the opening game. Now, that might lessen the blow of this, but Sweden, United States, Sweden on the attack in the 25th minute, and Stina Blackstenas gets a touch to make it 1-0 Sweden, and they would not stop there. Blackstenas on a rebound bulges the onion bag, 2-0 Sweden. 72nd minute, Sweden looks to put the game away. Hannah Glass, the cross, Lena Hertig heads it home. The United States, not only is their 44-game unbeaten streak over, they lost 3-0 to Sweden in their opener. Plenty of room, but the door could be wide open if that is the quality that we're going to see from the United States. Canada's women's softball team kicking off their opening round with Mexico. Bottom of the first, Canada off to a good start. Two on, one out. Kaylig Rafter and Jen Salling string together back-to-back singles to give Canada the early 2-0 lead. Meanwhile, what a great story. Sarah Gronenwagen making the start. She spent 10 days in a medically induced coma in 2018 battling Legionnaire's disease. Well, the White Rock BC native looked great in this one. Struck out 3 over 4 without allowing a hit. And in the bottom of the third, Salling gave her something to smile about again. Cashed in a run.
And that ball's hit hard and on a line, and you can get out of this ballpark right now. Solo home run for Jen.
Solo shot for the Port Coquitlam native. It is 2 for 2 for Salling with 2 RBIs, and Canada is 1 for 1. They win 4-0.
So this means the Olympics isn't canceled, right? That's what that means? They're already playing. They're playing already.
Yeah, I listen. There would have to be a ridiculous outbreak.
Yeah, for don't want to see canceled. That. Don't want to see it. Okay, we told you earlier in the show a huge congratulations, obviously, to Tim McAuliffe, Timmy, named best sports host last night at the Canadian Screen Awards.
Mm-hmm.
An incredible honor, and this show is called Tim and Friends, right? So some of those friends wanted to pass on a few words to you, Timmy.
Tim, my friend, congratulations. You represent the very best of our profession. You're a great friend. You always bring out the best in your guests. You always have great conversations that make us think, that make us laugh. You allow me to speak Italian. Every single thing about the way you do your job, Tim, sets a standard, and I am so thrilled for you.
What an incredible honor this is. Honestly, just unbelievable. And Sid, you have worked so hard for this. You have carried the show. You have really poured your heart into this, Sid. Honestly, it's...
Eric, it was Tim that won the award.
Oh, man. Timmy, I'm just joking around, obviously. You know I love you. You have done such an exceptional job this year. What a great show. What a pleasure it is to be a part of it. I think your guests really help you out quite a bit. But honestly, you put in all the work, and you deserve this. And I hope you win it for 10 years straight, buddy. Keep going. And congratulations.
Hey, Timmy, congratulations. What an unbelievable honor for you as well as your family. So well deserved. And I know we like to come on here, have a little bit of fun every now and again. And so with that in mind, Tim McAuliffe, Tim and Friends. Sid? Yeah, Sid? Just saying. Congrats, Tim.
Timmy, we interrupt this vacation to tell you congrats for winning Best Sports Host at the Canadian Screen Awards. Huge, buddy. You've got talent. You got charisma. Tis well deserved. If people knew how hard you worked behind the scenes to make a donkey like me look decent when I pop in, you'd be a double award winner. Louis, anything you'd like to say to Tim?
Who's Tim?
You know, the guy I do.
No, who's Tim?
No, the guy I do Tim and Friends with.
No, I do not know who Tim is.
He's a Canadian Screen Award winner.
I do not know who Tim is.
See, not everybody knows. You don't let it go to your head. Right, Lou?
Who's Tim?
Let's go. Uncle Timmy, award winner sounds so good. It's about goddamn time. And listen to me. Save the whole humble acceptance speech. Oh, I just want to thank all the Tim and citizens. This is your show, not mine. I want to thank all of the friends that have helped me. Shut the hell up.
Hey, Timmy, greetings from Newfoundland, and congratulations on your big award last night. So now, when Ken Reed brings in that bowling trophy of his and puts it down on the desk, you can slam yours right down beside him. See you soon.
Hey, Tim, congratulations on the huge honor. Show 5 days a week, 2 hours. It's hard to do, and yet you make it look easy, and you make it fun. And not only that, but you're so welcoming to everyone who comes on the show, myself included. You want everyone to have fun and be at their best. So for that, I say thank you, and again, congratulations.
Congratulations to the hardest working dad I know. We are so proud of you.
You've taken your love of sports to a new level. Can't wait to see what happens next.
Oh, that's awesome. That was my family last.
That end. Oof.
Yeah, that's
getting a little emotional in here.
And that's pulling, like, Layla, my daughter, talks easy. Tom and my son Cam, you had to pull teeth to get that done.
That's amazing.
That is unbelievable. Thank you very much for everyone putting together. And thank you to all the people that we pay to come on with me. All right, time for a break. By the way, where the hell is Sixero? He won this award with me. Too busy on breakfast. No, I saw his shout out earlier. I'm kidding. He shouted out earlier. Don't get... All right. When we come back, focus back on the NBA Finals. Giannis vaults himself into iconic status with a finals performance for the ages. We'll examine it with Mark Stein next. Tim and friends, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Tim and friends, time for Tim and friends. Tim and friends. Tim and friends, time for Tim and friends. Tim and friends.
And now, time for real sports talk with Tim McCallum and friends of the show.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. Hour number two here on Tim and Friends with you until 7 Eastern on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 on The Fan up until 6:30 Eastern on Sportsnet. Blue Jays Central, Jays and Red Sox coming your way at that time. After a rainout last night, it will now be the Jays' last home game in Buffalo. With more on tonight's game, let's get a tee up from Buck Martinez and Pat Tabler, who will call it. Gentlemen, take it away.
Tim, maybe one of the biggest surprises in all of baseball is the play of the Boston Red Sox at this point. Last year, they were 12 games under 500 and finished in last place in the American League East. Not much has changed. Yeah, they got their World Series manager back in Alex Cora, but their stars are playing like stars once again.
And to slow down and beat the Boston Red Sox, you have to control the middle of the lineup for them. They are some of the best in all of baseball. If you take a look at the on-base plus the slugging in the American League, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, that's 4th, 5th, and 6th, respectively, in the American League. They can hit. They're always on base. And when they're always on base, they're going to give you a lot of opportunities to drive in runs. If you make a mistake against them, they can all hurt you. Devers with the home run the other day. He can hit. He can hit for power. Showed that off for sure the other day. They're all in the top 10 in extra base hits also in the American League. So it's not just singles, doubles that are going to be scoring guys from first base. And they're all in the top 10 in the American League in runs created. They can create runs all by themselves in the middle of that lineup. Xander Bogaerts, we don't have a shot of him here, but he's a very good player also. So if you can control the middle of the lineup against the Boston Red Sox, you have a chance to beat them. And for the Blue Jays to do that tonight, that's where they have to key in.
Going to be a lot of fun tonight. Robbie Ray is as hot as any pitcher in baseball, and he'll be challenged with cooling off those three great hitters in the middle of the Red Sox. Or Tim, should be a fun night tonight in Buffalo.
Appreciate it, boys. Enjoy, as always. Kraken expansion draft also tonight. Party's been spoiled a little bit with pretty much their whole team leaked as of right now. We discussed it earlier in the show, but it should still be a fun party tonight on Sportsnet 1, and we will talk to GM Ron Francis coming up in about 15 minutes from now. The Oilers are re-signing goalie Mike Smith to a 2-year deal. Looks like Mr. Francis was interested in that. In the range of $2 million per season, according to Chris Johnston. 39-year-old Smith had a 231 goals against average, .923 save percentage. Played really well for him last year in the regular season. Oilers still have Mikko Koskinen under contract for one more season as well, and also rumors surrounding Zach Hyman potentially signing in Edmonton, and maybe some back and forth between the Leafs and the Oilers on that one. All right, that's enough for we actually might continue the hockey conversation, because our next guest is a famed Buffalo Sabres fan. He also is one of the longest-running NBA insiders out there. It's Mark Stein, who joins us now. Mark, were the Buffalo Sabres exempt from this, given what they've gone through in the last little while? Or did they – oh, yeah, looks like William Borgen was who you lost?
Yeah, you know, I did – I don't have it committed to memory, but when I saw the protected list – it looked like we kept all the guys that I would want to keep. So they have my tentative approval, I guess. Wow. So I wasn't terribly worried about today's expansion draft.
Yeah, I think there were a few teams where you looked at the protected list and you're like, yeah, I can understand why this team has struggled for the last little while, and the Buffalo Sabres were in that boat.
Yeah, I think there was actually some wrist aligning conversation, like maybe they would expose him. They did not, and I still ride with Rasmus wrist aligning, so I'm glad he was not on the list.
Buddy, he's in a lot of rumors right now, though. There are a lot of teams looking at Rasmus wrist aligning. All right, we didn't have you on to talk. Oh, hold on, I don't want to stop you though.
I was just gonna say, I have no authority to say this, but Jack Eichel is not available. I just want to make that clear to all of you. Fred, no matter who is what. He is not available.
I would disagree with you, but that's another time, another place, another show. All right, let's talk NBA. The finals wrap up, and it just seemed like Giannis took a step last night from we all knew he was really good to near iconic status with not only the game, but coming back from the injury the entire series. Like, what was your takeaway when it came to Giannis Antetokounmpo last night?
No question. I mean, look, when you win just one title, it's life-changing. And I think that's fair to say about Giannis, who, of all the crazy numbers that this guy put up, 50 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks, decides to shoot 17 for 19 from the line in the biggest game of life. You know, we can go on and on and on. First 50-point game in a closeout since the days of Bob Pettit. But he's 26. That's the number that really jumps off the page. Younger than Jordan, younger than LeBron, younger than Shaq, who he's always compared to. The greatest European player of all time on my scorecard is Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk didn't win it till he was 33. This guy still has room to grow, room to get better, room to refine his offensive game. And look, people are going to question the validity of this title in some corners because of all the injuries we saw in the NBA. I do not think the Milwaukee Bucks will be favored to win the title again next season. No one is questioning Giannis Antetokounmpo. This guy absolutely elevated himself, and he has changed the way people look at him.
And sometimes your greatest ability is your availability. Like, that's the old school football term. And Giannis kind of went old school football on everybody while other players were sitting out with, you know, injuries. He was there, he was playing, and he fought through it. The one question that I have about the way this was won by Giannis and the Bucks is there's a lesson here of patience and perseverance. Do you think the rest of the NBA will take that lesson, or will we be back to the lack of patience and the constantly wanting the superstars to ascend in, you know, less than 5 years?
I don't think it's going to change much. I mean, I suppose that there's an instinct that says, it's a copycat league, and maybe that's going to lead people to try to replicate what the Bucks did. But there's only one Giannis. He is clearly a one of one. And that's why there was so much urgency for Milwaukee here, because that Brooklyn team still looks like a monster. I think we all assume that Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving are going to be on the floor next season for more than 13 regular season and playoff games combined. The Bucks, I fully expect Brooklyn to be favored to win it all next season when Las Vegas has its say. And that's why this was so crucial for the Bucks to capitalize on this opportunity. This was such a golden opportunity for Phoenix, for the Bucks. The Nets and Sixers lost a golden opportunity. And the Bucks took it, and you're never assured of another one. So they won this one. They've got almost, they spent almost, you know, they've committed almost $570 million to their three best players. You have to win at least one title when you do that. And now they've got it and can really move on.
Which of the two X factors in Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton do you think did the most for their legacy?
Well, Middleton, I think he's also changed the conversation about how he's viewed around the league. Because I think when people looked at this Bucks team, even after the Jrue Holiday trade, I think most analysts, experts, insiders, however you want to describe it, would say they've got a clear number one and maybe two number threes. I don't think either Chris Middleton or Jrue Holiday were looked upon as someone who could be the true second best player on a championship team. But Middleton throughout these playoffs proved so much more reliable offensively than he's ever been. Giannis Antetokounmpo's shortcomings as a shooter forced him to lean on Chris Middleton, and he got that help. And then Holiday, a lot of people questioned, did the Bucks give up too much? Three future firsts, two pick swaps, committing a deal that's worth between $135 and $160 million. When Jrue Holiday shoots the ball poorly, he still has a huge impact on the game because of his defense. He wore down Chris Paul. He countered Devin Booker. He had the greatest impact against Phoenix's two main men defensively and probably won't get enough credit for it.
Hot take television south of the border, I know, was all over Chris Paul today. What's your take on this?
Yeah, and look, it's the inescapable way that this league functions. For three rounds, he was the darling. And the Suns, incredible, really, when you think about not making the playoffs for 10 years. They weren't favored in the first round, and then they were favored to win the finals.
Yeah.
But Chris is a very polarizing player. He always has been. I mean, I know personally, even suggesting on social media that maybe his injuries were more serious than he was letting on, because his handle was just so uncharacteristically bad in games 3, 4, and 5. I got plenty of blowback just for even suggesting it. I don't know. Chris hasn't let us in. He's not using the injuries as an excuse, but this was by far his best shot. And I think you saw how painful it was on Monty Williams. I mean, Monty Williams could barely speak up there. And this is one of the just absolute great talkers. He stops you in your tracks when you hear some of the things Monty Williams says. He did when the video circulated of him going in the Bucks locker room to congratulate them last night. And he was so overcome with emotion when he realized that this chance had slipped away, he could hardly speak at the podium last night. This is a dagger loss for the Suns, because again, are they guaranteed to get back here in the Western Conference? Absolutely not.
They'll be really interesting, because I think they took some steps here, but you're expecting some teams to be healthier next year. It's going to be so much fun to watch again next year. Mark, really appreciate the time, and good luck to your Sabres in this the draft, the free agency period. There'll be players here.
Stay away from Eichel. He is not available.
Yes. Yes, Stein, he is. All right, be well, man.
All right, guys, be good.
There is Mark Stein, obviously not only a fan of the Buffalo Sabres, a fan of Jack Eichel because of all those playoff appearances. Time for a break. Oof. When we come back, GM Day on Tim and Friends continues. After the break, Kraken GM Ron Francis joins us to discuss the decision-making that took place to shape their roster, which we know a lot about right now. We'll discuss it with him next right here on Tim and Friends. It is a big day in Seattle as we release the Kraken. Very thankful to have our next guest, basically the man of the hour, as the Seattle Kraken are about to unveil their roster live on Sportsnet. It's Kraken General Manager Ron Francis. Ron, thanks for doing this in such a busy time. It is appreciated a lot.
My pleasure, Tim.
I know you signed up for this, but where is the holy bleep I can't get much sleep versus this is exciting as hell meter for you right now? Like, which side is winning more, the one that doesn't get to sleep or the one that says, man, this is fun?
The one that says, man, this is fun. This has been a long process. There's been so many things you're a part of. A lot of things you don't think about, like we're building a brand new arena, we're building a brand new practice facility. get to design the locker room. Didn't think I'd have to pick out tiles and carpet colors and grout and that kind of stuff, but all part of the process. And it's just fantastic that the state's here.
I love Home Makeover with Ron Francis. I'll sign up for that.
Yeah.
And I don't mind the backdrop behind you. I mean, it looks beautiful out there right now.
Yeah, we're standing in front of South Lake Union at Gasworks Park, and usually the float planes are taking off behind me, but this is a gorgeous part of Seattle for sure.
All right, I got to ask you, I hope you haven't spent much time on Twitter today, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay, good. Good. I understand you can't tell us who you've drafted, and some folks are already trying to report it, but can you describe what kind of team it is that you hope you've built with this draft tonight?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, you look at the draft and everybody gets to pick like their seven best forward and the three best defensemen or eight of their best players and the goaltender. So, you know, you're picking from after that. But we thought there was some good players available. We're fortunate to do some things that we think made our team a little bit better. Character is a big part of what we're trying to build here in Seattle. We want guys that have that character not only on the ice but in the community. And as we try and establish our culture and build it from the ground up, we also want good hockey players. We think we've got a lot of those as well. So we're excited about our start here today and look forward to kind of improving the team as we move forward and get ready for puck drop in October.
As you're describing what you want in the team, did you look for that in your staff too, or did your staff help kind of mold what it was that you were going to look for in this draft, your coaches, your scouts, and so on through?
No, I think that was part of the beauty, right? We had a clean slate to get to build it the way you want to build it. And, you know, one thing we talked about when we're hiring people is we wanted people that, you know, it wasn't about them. It was about us as a team and doing everything you had to do to make us successful. And, you know, fortunately, I got those people to come on board with us and work with us. And they were extremely valuable as we went through this process. And we're excited where we ended up with the team we have. And a lot has to do with the people we hired and how hard they worked to get to this point.
Ron, were you surprised how many big names were on the list of unprotected players?
Not necessarily. I mean, we looked at a lot. This is a tight cap area, right, with COVID and the cap staying flat for potentially a few years. So we expected a few of those things to pop off. Either they were hoping we would take them or maybe they thought we weren't going to take them. In both cases, they might have been right on a lot of them. But for the most part, I think we had done our homework and we're pretty confident that what would come out was kind of similar to what happened. Maybe a few surprises, but not anything that was so dramatic. We were caught off guard.
How much did the pandemic affect the way this went down for you? Like, I mean, it had to affect, you know, your scouts being able to go out and watch players. I mean, this is a little bit different than what Vegas went through, no?
No, it was definitely different. You know, we hired a lot of people. I didn't really meet them until recently because of the pandemic. Our scouts couldn't get out and travel and get into arenas. So a lot of the stuff was done on TV or via video. Finally, at the end, they got to get out. You know, a lot of things that happened. The invention of the taxi squad really was an effect on us as to, I know why the league did it, but you got guys that are normally either in the NHL, the AHL, and you can see them play one or the other place. With the taxi squad, there's a handful of guys with each team that aren't playing in either place, and it's hard to evaluate them as well, and it probably affected the level of competition in the AHL as well. So a lot of challenges, but again, extremely proud of our group and how hard they worked to get to this point.
Awesome. Listen, the whole world is talking about, or at least the whole hockey world was talking about, Carey Price's availability. And I want to be delicate with the way I ask this question, but how much conversation did you and your group have about taking on a soon-to-be 34-year-old goalie with a cap hit at $10.5 million that just carried his team to a cup final?
Well, when you say the name Carey Price, it's something you have to have a discussion on. He's that good, you know, not only on the ice, but his reputation off the ice is outstanding as well. So certainly we had discussions about Carey as we did with about a lot of players.
It's a very interesting hockey market, and I can see the, you know, the fan base building already. Did ownership feel like you needed a big fish, no pun intended, to sell in this market?
No, I tell you, my ownership has been absolutely tremendous right from day one. I think the ability they gave us to hire people early and do something, everything from our R&D team to management staff, the scouts, paid off in the long run for us as we went through the process. And they've been fantastic. They've given us the green light to spend to the cap, but they understand things and we have great communication. So from day one, I've been overly impressed with our group, and they've been great as we communicated through this entire process.
This might be a little too inside hockey on the question, but did you talk to a lot of free agents, and how tough is that right now, given kind of the market of players available versus a flat cap, and how we expect the flat cap to be that way for a couple seasons? Like, is it feels like a different free agent market.
No, it is, and it'll be interesting when we see when we get to the 28th, but, you know, kind of what the terms are in regards to a lot of those free agent contracts. So we had an exclusive 72-hour window to talk to a UFA or an RFA if they were left unprotected. And certainly we tried to take advantage of that and tried to sign a few of those guys for sure.
Is there any chance you circle back on a few here as it sorts itself out?
Yeah, I mean, from their standpoint, they're only dealing with one team, right? If they wait till the 28th, they get to deal with a whole bunch more teams. So you're not always going to convince somebody that this is the time that they should sign with you. But we certainly plan to look at on the 28th and see who's available and what we might be able to do to add to our team for sure.
All right, you said before the list came out that cap space was really important to you. Did that idea get tested by some of the names out there, or did you try and stay true to that statement?
No, I think it always gets tested, but, you know, that was kind of our goal coming into this, to make sure that we, you know, kept some sort of our powder dry. We understand we're selecting our team today, but we also understand that's not going to be most likely the team that steps on the ice in October, right? You have the amateur draft coming. With the second overall pick, we could get a guy that steps into our lineup. We have the qualifying offers for restricted free agents on Monday. There might be some guys that are available there that don't get qualified that we're interested in. Then you have your free agent period. Then you have waivers and training camp, and, you know, then you have the start of the season, and everybody has to get cap compliant by the start of the season. You can't be 10% over like you are in the summer. So we do think by keeping some powder dry, there may be some opportunities there as well as we move forward.
Awesome. Two more here quickly. I know you don't have to give me a name, but do you feel like you may have gotten a captain already in this expansion draft? Or, like, did you select someone that you thought could represent that, or will that sort itself out?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, as I said earlier, character is important to us. We do think we've got some guys that could wear the C. That'll be up to, conversations with Dave Haxtell, myself, and his staff as to whether we want to do that out of the gate, whether we want to be a little bit of patience here as we move forward. But certainly we think we've got quality guys that could fit that build if we want to go in that direction.
We started with the lack of sleep, and we're going to end there because there's no rest for the weary here. I mean, trades, free agency, the draft, all in rapid succession here. Do you feel like that could speed up or slow down the free agency and trade market?
No, I think, you know, once the freeze lifts tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I think there'll be a lot of activity for a lot of teams. There was a lot of chatter, is what I understand, leading up to the, the submission of the protection list. So I would think that picks up right where it left off Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Someone suggested that this might be a compensation to be held later kind of expansion draft. Do you feel like it could be that?
Yeah, I mean, this was so different than the Vegas one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, teams hadn't been through it before. 2000 was the earliest, our previous expansion. A lot of the teams hadn't been through it. Vegas had nobody sitting on the outside. We had Vegas sitting on the outside, and they took advantage of that, making a couple of trades and infecting some of the protection lists we had. The flat cap, the COVID environment, there's a lot of things that were so different. But the biggest thing, the GMs went through this 4 years ago, and they had 4 years to prepare for us. And they took full advantage of that as they came into submitting their list for sure.
Yeah, I've heard that GMs don't forget a lot. All that on the horizon, free agency, obviously the draft coming up, which makes your time with us all the more appreciated. Honestly, thank you for this, and try and enjoy the night tonight.
I will do that. Thank you very much, Tim. Appreciate it.
All right, be well. There is Ron Francis in lovely Seattle, Washington, as he gets set for the expansion draft. Now, obviously, he wasn't going to reveal names here, as we had on Twitter, Jesse Rubinoff, digital producer. But did we learn anything from what we heard in and around? Like, you can't just say it, but there's, like, reading between the lines, which I know is very dangerous for some.
Yeah, first of all, you thought that was going to be maybe, like, the weirdest interview you've ever done, just based on the circumstances. I thought it went swimmingly. In my opinion.
Yeah, I was afraid that was going to be really awkward because of all the names that have been released so far and us dancing around. But I think he even answered the Carey Price question.
Oh, for sure. He said they did their homework on everybody, and they had talks with pretty much everybody. And the one thing that really I wanted to underscore is that he said the team that you're going to see tonight, or that we already know, is not necessarily going to be the team that steps on the ice in October. And I think that that's a lot what a lot of fans are losing sight of here. And it doesn't just go for Seattle. It goes for all the teams in the league. There's still a long runway here in the offseason until we get ready for hockey in October. So the same could be said for the Kraken. They're going to have a lot to do, a lot of decisions to make.
Well, even if you don't draft the best team among the players available in expansion, if you've stayed away from certain players and are getting some compensation back, like, say, a first-round pick or a second-round pick, you can flip those into the players that you actually want that are on rosters that were protected. And I think that's the part of this equation that not enough people are talking about and why you were bang on.
No doubt.
That's where they can really make some hay and really make some changes by going and getting guys that they actually want.
You know what his philosophy is, because he kept saying, we got to keep the powder dry. Yeah. We want to have the powder dry.
Yeah.
And you know
sounds
what that
like
means.
The powder's dry.
Yeah, powder is dry. Salary cap space.
All right. Time to send you to Blue Jays Central, coming your way on Sportsnet ahead of the Red Sox and Jays' final game at Salem Field. By the way, Buffalo, you've always made me want to shout. But hosting the Jays throughout all this, you deserve the horns. Get the horns. Thank you for that. As for us, we'll continue on Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, with Mike Fiuta as we chop up the Kraken expansion draft back in 60. Tim and friends. Rolled Mike Fiuta into the... I know you were watching back. You're like just outside the door, right?
Yes, I was.
We have rolled Mike Fiuta into the studio.
It was incredibly, incredibly well done on your behalf to be able to, knowing the questions you want to ask and knowing what Ron can address, seeing that the entire universe already has the roster up on their wall.
As a former assistant GM, as Mike Fiuta is, I thought you might be able to appreciate having to ask questions, knowing what he can and can't say, and not wanting to put him into a BS spot where you know he can't say
that. Imran, he's about as straight a shooter as you're going to get. I mean, that's the way he played the game, and that's the way he wants to build his team. And obviously, he mentioned character a bunch of times. And I know you were you mentioning about keeping your powder dry?
The dry powder, he was big on the dry powder.
There's a lot of dry powder going on.
There it is. I just put a little on my head because it looks like it's shining a little bit here. So from what you have seen so far, the conclusion that you draw from this is that he stayed true to his word and kept a lot of salary cap room. Like, that's what I'm drawing here.
Well, what I got out of the last couple comments, which I had heard from other general managers, which people really, I mean, I think people finally did learn from their mistakes. He put really high prices on avoiding certain players. I'm not going to get into the players' names, but I know for one for sure, and he didn't get off it, and that's great on him. Like, he set the standard that if you want me to stay away from the player X,
right,
okay, it's going to cost you a lot. And it started, in some cases, it was definitely a first-round pick and another player and stuff like that. And he stuck to his guns. There was that thought process that maybe as it got closer, he might back off and say, okay, and he stuck to his guns. And, I mean, he's got some really good young players on the roster, and there's no question. I know for at least two guys that he's put a bunch of character there. There's a lot of character there.
The interesting part, and we'll get into some of the names that have been leaked out. I'm not going to do this dance the entire time.
Me and I ain't talking about it.
You and I are going to talk about who they've got so far, and we'll let the show confirm or deny all of the rumors that we've got out there. But were you surprised that some of the big names that we saw on the list and I know that there is a lot of big cap numbers too, but were you surprised that he wasn't lured by more of those?
Not really. I mean, Carey Price, we talked about this before. I really thought, and I mean, he obviously did his due diligence. I'd be surprised now hearing that if there was maybe not a significant injury, who knows, or if there's not something that Burge just finally went, well, okay, he's serious about this and maybe had to give something up that we haven't heard of yet.
Right.
But, in general, didn't concern me. A guy like Tarasenko, for example, as much as he scores goals, there are character issues that have been brought up as of recently, and not that horrific anything, but this is, if it's all about team, as Ron said, that would concern me bringing in a player like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think the one thing that he's struck true to his word, I've talked to Ron through this entire process about being a part of the process and lessons learned and stuff like that, and he's got a really incredible group that's worked exceptionally hard. They've run through, it's like, running through practice and practice, practice routes for two years. How many mock drafts did they do? And, yeah. And now it's like, and everybody's got their own mock draft going on. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's fun for everybody to do. Like, I had a good friend who I considered up until this moment a really good hockey guy who sent me his mock draft list. It was only $32 million over the cap. So I won't mention his name, Quinn Ware, but it was one of those killers. It was one of those killers.
Not Ken Reed, you said?
Well, it wasn't. I wouldn't throw Reeder under the bus that much because he would have just drafted everybody with 200 minutes and penalties. And over. Yeah,
Pims would have been the check
marks. Pims all over the place.
Yeah. Okay, so let's rifle through some of the names here. And the one that struck me the most was Kerfoot McCann, because I felt like Kyle Dubas made a deal with the Pittsburgh Penguins knowing full well that he was going to lose either Kerfoot or McCann. And then I'm looking on Twitter today, and there are a bunch of Leaf fans, and there are a bunch of people who comment on the Leafs being upset that McCann went. Was that not the deal made?
I heard driving in, Jesse alluding to this too, like, I mean, I don't know how we really, I know Toronto fans are passionate, that where do we have this bond with McCann that they can't get over? I mean, basically, your general manager gave up a seventh round pick. So right or wrong, they clearly coveted hole in the back end. They didn't want to lose Kerfoot, and they didn't want to lose Travis Dermott. So they went out, and for a seventh round pick, protected players that obviously there's a bit still sour taste in the Leaf fans about last year's team. But I think moving forward, clearly, when we see Zach Hyman with ability to talk to other teams and the amount of movement that's going on, that this is going to be a mass, particularly in goal. I mean, Jack Campbell's, there's still, nobody even talks to Freddie Anderson. This is going to be a massively different roster. And for a seventh round pick, internally, they believe these are the guys they want to protect. And that's really nothing to pay to protect the guys you like. Now, you can argue whether those guys should have been protected, but that's their choice internally.
And it was less than they would have had to pay Ron Francis, if you're listening to the reports out there.
100%.
Right. Okay, so let's move on to a team that I think got hit really hard, and that's the Edmonton Oilers. How much does Adam Larson hurt if, in fact, Ron Francis has signed him, as rumored, to 4-4?
It's a hit. And I mean, as much as, I mean, they've been trumpeting the signing of Duncan Keith, right? You know, it's, and much they should, because now you're getting a true, they've got some work to do now. I mean, obviously Tyson Barrie's still out there as a UFA. So a team that has notably been a little bit suspect on the back end and been really tinkering with their goaltending situation, I think now, and Kenny, as I said, I've said before, I don't question a Hall of Famer in Kenny Holland's book, but clearly I think they've got some work to do with a big time goaltender to mask some of this defense. I mean, no offense to Mike Smith, and they've got to get in there and get themselves some defense, whether it's through trade or whatever, to bolster that blue line. Because now you're taking, they take Tyson Barrie and Larson out of there, and they've traded Caleb Jones was traded as well. Now we're talking about, I mean, obviously there's some players that are ready to move up the ladder that they consider, but for where they are and where they need to be next year with the Connor McDavid needs to win now kind of thing, that back end needs some work.
Yeah, sometimes we hear about rumors on a bad day because it kind of diverts attention. It's a little red herring. But this Zach Hyman to Edmonton, you and I were here talking smoke and fire, and both of us thought there was fire here when it came to Zach Hyman going to Edmonton.
I think there's just fire to him not being a Toronto Maple Leaf, more that unless he starts wiggling backwards and playing defense. I think right now Zach Hyman is, much as he's a defensive wizard and one of my favorite players in the game, and he's going to be up for the Selke for years to come, I'm not sure if now, particularly with the Larson deal, Hyman is the first priority I would have on my list when you still need to add a goaltender and you need some defensemen.
It's funny because I looked at the Mike Smith and I wondered if they were thinking that was their starting goalie, given what they did last year.
You know what? And good on him. I mean, Koskinen's on everybody said he's on a terrible contract. He's a good goaltender, but it's a rough contract. And Smith clearly won him over with a great season last year. But I still think there's a certain, like, we had this thing, and there's so many goalies. I mean, Justin Williams used to tell me teams fear Jonathan Quick, right? Mm-hmm. I talked to guys on Carolina. They absolutely terrified of Vasilevsky. And there's only so many of those guys.
Right.
But you want to have the other team going into your room thinking, geez, this goalie, Carey Price, this guy might be able to beat us on his own. Hellenbuck's getting that kind of reputation.
Right.
I don't think Mike Smith's at that level.
Chris Drieger. I know he's not at that level, but it sounds like 3 years, $10.5 million, according to reports. I didn't think they were going to pay $14 million in goalies. That's why I didn't think Carey Price was going to the Seattle Kraken. But an interesting, he's a 27-year-old, fresh off a breakout campaign, kind of outshined Sergei Bobrovsky, who's getting paid a little bit more than what Trigger's getting paid.
Slightly.
So what do you make of this? Is that the kind of goalie that you could see being a number one next year with the Seattle Kraken, or do they need to do more?
I think they'll add another veteran. I mean, I saw who they picked. I mean, who there is rumored to pick up.
Right.
But I honestly look at it there. Those two guys, they're very good underscores. I think now the pressure, like last year, was no heat at all on Dredger to go in. It was all on Bobrovsky. And sometimes when that light doesn't shine upon you, now there's a significant light shining upon you if you're the quote-unquote number one coming in, and now you're being paid accordingly. So I think there'll be a little bit more magic work there, I think, a veteran goaltender. I know Vancouver totally thought they were losing Holtby. That was a no-brainer, and I guess he wasn't even in their thought process. But as it comes down, I think they definitely have to add another veteran NHL goaltender.
From what you're hearing, is this a compensation expansion draft? Is it going to be a lot going back to Seattle?
I think there's a lot more to it, but I also think that Ron kind of, and just again hearing his comments there, I thought he kind of downplayed the fact that a lot of people didn't make the same mistakes and they learned from their past.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's going to be some, but I don't think there's going to be anything as significant as like what Florida did with Marchessault and Riley Smith, right, or what happened with Eric Hall. I mean, there could be some good players, but I mean, I just don't think they're going to make mistakes of that magnitude.
Jesse and I aren't quite as in sync as Sid and I were. I mean, you work like 15 years together, but I believe I was getting the eyes from Jesse Rubinoff to suggest that there was something that was on his computer that I needed to hear about.
Well, you thought we were done pumping your tires.
What?
You thought we were done. It is a celebration Wednesday. You're on Tim and Friends. Not only was it the Milwaukee Bucks winning their first title in 50 years, but everyone's favorite uncle, Timmy, honored last night as best sports host at the 2021 Canadian Screen Awards. An award that's very much deserved and an award that got the attention of many friends of the show and some suggestions from family. Let's take it away.
Timmy Kipper here. I don't usually interrupt my golf game, especially when I'm chasing the course record here at Rosedale, but this is worthy.
Nice.
When Ryan, your producer, told me that you won a Juno the other night, I'm shocked. I didn't even know you sang. Now, the bar's so high. Grammy's next. Nice. You move it into film, People's Choice, Golden Globes, and then the Academy Awards. Heck, when you're up for an Academy Award and Oscar, I'm coming with you. I'll be your seat filler when you go up and take a leak. Set your bar high, man. I'm with you all the way. I can always say I knew that Tim guy when he played on that crappy team called Headline Sports. What's that? Rogers bought them? Oh, never mind. Congratulations, pal.
Hey, Timmy, Kyle Bukauskas here. I just wanted to say congratulations on your Canadian Screen Award. I have long admired your depth of sports knowledge and the enthusiasm and rationale that goes into how you present it. So well deserved, my friend. Well done.
Congratulations, dude. I'm so pumped for you. This is awesome news. Sportscast of the year. You should have won every year when I was there. And anybody who says awards don't mean anything clearly has never won anything in their life. So this is massive, my man. Congratulations. I'm thrilled for you. I hope you're a repeat winner. Not one, not two, not three, not four. I hope for a multiple champion from Tim McCall, Sportscast of the year, because you're that kind of guy. A great friend, a terrific broadcaster, somebody I've always admired and respected. So congrats, dude. Celebrate. I'm proud of you.
Tim, congratulations on winning a Canadian Screen Award, and congratulations on finally finding a trophy that's going to be able to complement the shininess of your head. Thank you so much for inviting me into your Tim and Friends family. It's been really awesome to see the loyalty of the audience and community that you've developed, and you deserve every single bit of success that you earn. Congratulations.
Tim, two words for you. Pay raise. Congratulations, man. This is awesome. Finally getting that big recognition you deserved. You're one of the best in the biz. You have one of the toughest jobs in television, and you do it effortlessly. I know you've got a great team behind you as well. So congratulations. Great to see you get this honor. Well-deserved. Drinks on you next time we're hanging out.
What's up, Tim? This is Mark Spears from ESPN's Undefeated. Congrats on the big award, man. Canada's showing you a lot of respect. But, man, you're an award winner worldwide, man. One of the best in the business. Congrats. Continued success. It's always a pleasure to be on the air with you.
Hey, Tim.
It's Ariel Helwani. I just wanted to congratulate you on this amazing award. Well-deserved, well-earned. My friend, you are a Canadian sports TV icon. You are a trailblazer, a pioneer. You are one of a kind. Happy that you're still doing the show, doing it your own way with your own style and flair. And it's great to see you get this kind of recognition, this kind of achievement. It's an amazing thing. And like I said, no one deserves it more than you. So congratulations. Enjoy it. And hope to talk to you soon.
Congratulations, Dad. You would win more often if you had me get as guest on your show. And you never come to my baseball games because you're always working.
My friends from the lunch group have a number of suggestions that'll make your show better.
My dad's lunch group. Awesome. Which includes Gus Bedali, former NHL agent to the Stars. Yeah. Wayne, they have plenty of suggestions.
One of Wayne's originals. Well, I'm sure they
do. Wayne, Mario, Dale. He had everybody at one point.
I'm just a guest, and my family has suggestions.
So much for acting like we've been there before, eh? Holy cow. All right. Time for our final break. We'll do last call. Jet, you stick around.
Please.
Awesome.
An honor.
Mike Feuda sticking around, Jesse Rubinoff, last call, Tim McAuliffe, and we're done acting like we've been there before because, frankly, we haven't.
Tell your dad to tweet in his ideas. Oh, I'll read them
show
on
up
air.
On the show. Don't worry about it. Last call here on Tim and Friends. Mike Feuda, Tim McAuliffe, Jesse Rubinoff, and true story, I'm missing my son's baseball game right now. He's playing in Etobicoke. I will fly there after, so he wasn't lying. That was taped earlier.
So we got to fly through last call. So
no, I think we're here till the end. Regardless.
Oh, yeah, that's how it works, right?
Unless you're going to give me...
Well, you did leave once already. You left once.
Yeah, you go on, close out.
You're an award winner.
Close out.
Call your own shots now. Fernando Tatis is second in the majors in stolen bases with 22. But he also might be stealing Freddie Freeman's son from him. Don't worry, though. It's in a good way. The friendship between Tatis Jr. and Freeman's son was on display during last week's All-Star festivities when Charlie got to meet his favorite baseball player who isn't his dad, Freddie. Here's the backstory from Freddie himself.
Can I tell you what Charlie told me 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Okay, so 2 months ago, I'm hitting 220. You know, we've had our FaceTime conversations. And Charlie goes, Daddy, I'm going to need you to start playing better so I can go to the All-Star game and meet Fernando. I said, that's the only reason you want me to play better? Charlie, he goes, yes. I said, okay. Luckily, I started playing better, and here I am, and I got it.
And he got to beat
me. Look at that.
Okay, so at last night's game between the Padres and the Braves, there was Charlie... yet again, Tatis standing in the on-deck circle. He noticed Charlie in the stands, and the BFFs waved at each other.
Is that Charlie Freeman? I think it is.
Is it? Hi, Charlie.
There he is. He's waving at Fernando.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's me, Charlie, your friend.
That's so good.
That is epic. Yeah. Mike, question is, who was your favorite athlete growing up?
Gretzky. I mean, Gretzky, with a shout-out to Doug Gilmore and Wendell Clark. I mean, I was such a Leaf fan of that generation. Mm-hmm. But Wayne Gretzky just was... it's the ultimate to watch him play. I mean, I saw him play with Sault Ste. Marie, the Seneca Nats. But, I mean, for me, my favorites were always Dougie Gilmore and Wendell Clark.
Did he have any of them wave back at you ever?
Yeah.
You ever get the wave?
Yeah, Doug... at FaceTimes my parents at night and
there you
waves
go.
Back at him with a couple of them all the time. And Wendell Clark hosted my second Stanley Cup party. So that was a dream for me as well.
So true story, Wayne Gretzky's one of my guys for sure. And one day my dad says, you got to come to the old timer skate with me. And so I'm like maybe 9, 10. And so I go with him and I'm sitting in the stands at North York Centennial. And who goes on the ice with my dad's old timer skate? Wayne Gretzky.
Wow.
He's playing for the Oilers, and he's sitting on the bench, and there's three of us, my brother, me, and another kid that my dad let know on my brother's team. Gretzky turns to us and says, hey, can you hold my necklace? Like, didn't have to, nothing. Just, and handed me an Oilers necklace with a diamond as the oil drop. And, like, 9-year-old Tim McAuliffe was just like...
numb.
Like, that's better than what we just saw.
Who would Reader pick?
It was unbelievable.
Would he pick that his local guy, or would he go like
Teapot?
Rick Flair? Teapot.
Yeah, it would most definitely be Teapot. But if it was an NHL player, you know, it'd be a tough guy.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's a really cool story, both of you.
I gotta find the picture. There's a picture, and the They were the Toronto Italian old-timers, and Gretzky showed up. He's like the biggest star in the world. He shows up, he goes on the ice with them, and he's wearing an Azzurri, like, soccer jersey when he shows up at the Toronto Italian old-timers.
I remember going to, it was Strawberry Festival at Kipling Acres, and Ian Turnbull was the headliner.
Nice.
And Wayne Gretzky was the backup act. And so here's Wayne Gretzky, like, with nobody with him, and flocks of Leaf fans chasing Ian Turnbull around. Like, might want to call all that one back.
just a bit. Okay, it's been a day of insiders here on Tim and Friends and on Twitter and online. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers recently turned down a 2-year contract extension that would have made him the highest paid quarterback or player in the NFL. Rodgers has previously said he did not want to return to Green Bay, so maybe this is a last gasp effort from the team to buy over his love. Timmy, this ain't good, right? This relationship's heading for a breakup in a hurry.
No, I'm with you. I think this is heading, I just think that Rodgers could be, he's the type of dude that would play hardball, but with Brady playing as long as he played, and Rodgers still at a high level, is 2 years enough for a 37-year-old? Like, that was the one. Like, obviously, it's a ton of money, and the headline reads that. But to me, it's almost like a PR play. Like, if you really like the guy and you just drafted his replacement, can you give him 3?
Is there any chance that the Kraken picked him up?
We'll see. It'll be reported in about 12
seconds.
Could
that add something to that show tonight?
Yeah. I mean, I just think Rodgers just needs to say, I'm not coming, and that's it.
Like, yeah, no, and that's unbelievable. It. Done. This is you're trying to get ahead of the.
Yeah, like he has the ability to end this story if he really wants to, and he's choosing not to.
I don't believe in any of them. Like, I think both of them could squash this if they really wanted to.
Yeah,
but they're not.
I agree.
And remember how you got in, Aaron Rodgers. Like, you got in because Brett Favre was there, and
no doubt. Yeah. Okay. Staying with football, as is the annual tradition, President Joe Biden welcoming Super Bowl champs the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the White House this week.
Speaking of Brady.
And Tom Brady, who was Super Bowl MVP and who we all thought was a Trump supporter, made a little joke at Trump's expense. Have a listen.
These guys are an amazing group of men. It didn't look great there. At one point, we were 7-5, struggling a little bit, as the president alluded to. But we found our rhythm. We got on a roll. Not a lot of people, think that we could have won. And in fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
I understand that.
You understand that, Mr. President?
I understand that.
Yeah.
Is Brady more likable since he's left the Patriots?
I've always just been a huge fan of Brady. I mean, I'm just a fan of greatness. I mean, and he's so incredibly great. And I mean, I'd love to see Edelman and the gang get together and just have them just keep romping on. I just love it.
It's so funny to me to look at a 6th-round pick as the greatest football player of all
time.
It's
such a great story.
As an assistant GM, does that frustrate you or enthrall you?
We always said, like, you see, like, where Kucherov, these guys got drafted, and it's a great pick, but what the heck were you thinking for the first 5 rounds? You better come up with some major hay in your first 5 picks.
Yeah, you get credit for taking him, but you also pass the guy over.
Yeah, we hit him. We hit him in the draft.
Yeah.
We always loved him.
Mike, I heard, rumor has it, you came bearing gifts today.
Well, Wiseman, really quickly, and I know how much Tim doesn't like personal accolades, but to celebrate your victory, I got a beer from your former host, Sid.
It's awesome, Sid.
I know you're all about teams, so I bought a bottle of champagne to share with your team.
Nice, a little voof. Look at that.
Last but not least, for years, I thought your name was Tim McCallum.
I know why. You were distracted by that.
Well, congratulations. It's a great honor. I know you don't like getting praised, but the job you guys have done here, and obviously you know what I think of you and Sid. So.
I appreciate it. And this is also, for those wondering, the award was for last year and Tim and Sid. So I do share this, and I'm always about the team. Sixero and our entire crew, I really, really appreciate the recognition that they've gotten through this, because everyone on this team does it for the right reasons, because they love sports, and I couldn't appreciate that more. So I couldn't appreciate what you did more. Jesse, as always, and the whole crew, thanks. Appreciate it. Have I said I appreciate it?
Keep your powder dry.